Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word rightly divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 3, and we've been looking at verse number 10, which says, "Night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith." And we've been looking at some of these issues of how the Apostle Paul, talking to these saints in Thessalonica, dealing with them, speaking about how himself, Silas, and Timothy had been looking at some issues related to these saints and their functioning as members of the body of Christ, and how once they had put their trust in the gospel message for today, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. Once they put their trust in that, became a member of the body of Christ, that there was a change that had come upon them. They were taking the doctrine in. And yet he still talks about this issue of the fact that he's looking at them and seeing that he wanted to make sure that they had everything being taken care of for them related to that perfecting of their faith, that increase in the knowledge of, that's what we had been looking at last time. And when we look at this issue of the faith that we see Paul making a reference to here, let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter number 4 to see what Paul is going to say. And there's several times through his epistles when he's looking at this whole issue of faith going on with them here. And here in Romans chapter number 4, when we look here at verse number 5, which says, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Now, so many individuals, as they look at a passage like this, think about how Paul is speaking about the faith of the believer and this having the impact and this being counted for righteousness for the individual. Now, the reality of things is that our righteousness could never be counted, because when you see how the scriptures in the book of, you know, Jeremiah and Isaiah and the prophets talk about this issue of the fact that our righteousness is considered as filthy rags in the eyes of God, and that mankind of themselves can never be seen as being righteous. The faith that's being said, when it says his faith is counted for righteousness, it's the faith of Christ that's being counted. And it's his faith that's counted for us. That way we can have his righteousness. So that way when God looks at us as a member of the body of Christ and sees his righteousness, that this is why we can be considered to have that victory over the issues of sin and death. Why, when it talks about that issue, that we already have that issue of forgiveness, all of those different things that we see the scriptures talking about are all the result of the fact that it's his faith that's been applied to our account. This is why you see the Apostle Paul make this reference. Let's go over into the book of Galatians. Now we're going to Galatians chapter number 2. And we're going to look at a verse that, unfortunately, you know, the modern versions of scripture change the words "of" to "in" and put it as that it's the individual's faith. But the reality of what is being said here in Galatians chapter 2 verse 16 shows that it is Christ's faith that is the issue. Verse 16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, the law could never justify an individual, because when you look at that issue of performance, that an individual was always going to fail, because no individual other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself could ever follow all 613 different parts of the law. That's why there is no justification outside of when it says that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. It's his faith that is the issue when we're talking about things of salvation. And there's a difference between the salvation piece that we're looking at and how Paul, when he's talking about them being perfect in the things are related to the perfecting of their faith, he's not talking about the position that they have being identified in Christ. He's talking about the issues of the practical outworking of that and looking at the sanctification of the individual from that practical outworking. And when we talk about things, we always look at it from the fact that the doctrine that comes in, it influences the position that we have, that understanding, you know, because the reality is whether we understand it or not, it's true of us positionally. But as we gain that understanding of things, the doctrine influences our Christian life, influences the practice of how we're doing things. And this is why you see how Paul will, you know, lay out the doctrinal information, and then he'll start to talk about how this actually works out, how an individual is actually living their life. Now, we know that there's something that is the source of faith in the life of an individual. We can see that in the book of Romans in chapter number 10, here in verse number 17, which says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's the word of God that's going to have an impact on someone. You know, this is why, you know, when we, you know, study, we do messages, yet the word of God is the focus. You know, we don't just sit here and tell stories. There's a focus on what God's word actually says. And the different things that we do are always to be influenced by that. You know, when we talk about things that even, for example, the songs that we would sing as, you know, the hymns as part of a service, the hymns really should be matching up. When you look at the words of them, the words should match the doctrine that's laid out in Romans through Philemon. And if it doesn't, it's not pleasing unto God, because it's not matching up with what his word says. Now, we always know that when we see these things and talk about that, faith is coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God, that, you know, yes, we know all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. We know that, you know, everything from Genesis to Revelation is the word of God, but we also know that there's a principle that we have to use when we're talking about the things of the Word of God, which is to study the show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That we have to apply that principle of right division, understanding what things have been written directly to me and what things have not been written directly to me. And when I understand that, then I know where my doctrine is truly coming from. Yes, there might be some things in, you know, some of the other scriptures, you know, the books that are, you know, interdispensational truths. There might be some things that in Romans through Philemon that do not apply because, you know, there has been a transition that's occurred during the book of Acts and some things have faded away. Now, one of the things that tends to happen for individuals is that there's an overuse of both of those terms, which can start to become very dangerous. You know, individuals will start looking at things and go, well, I really like this passage, you know, and it might be something out of the book of Mark. And they say they really like it, and because they really like what it says, it automatically they start thinking, well, this has to be an interdispensational truth. You know, something doesn't have to automatically be an interdispensational truth. You know, you will have that idea of the things that actually do carry over from dispensation to dispensation. Just like on the other side of it, that there might be things in Romans through Philemon that somebody doesn't like, and because they don't like it, immediately just go, well, you know, it's transitional, it doesn't apply to us, and they start trying to push it away from having any impact on who we are as the members of the body of Christ. The things that are transitional, the things that will no longer apply to us, you know, the Apostle Paul gives us enough hints to be able to say that this doesn't apply. You know, for example, the sign gifts. He starts talking about how when that which is perfect has come, that these gifts would be done away, the perfect thing being the completed word of God. And when that came away, the sign gifts ceased. He gives that information, even though he gives the thing of, okay, here's how the gifts are going to actually work out in the life of an individual, giving them that understanding so that way they know how to use them. He also gives the thing of, okay, these things are going to go away. Now, this issue of what's producing the faith and having an understanding of that is important because the Apostle Paul identifies, we're here in Romans, let's turn over a couple chapters here to chapter number 14, to where we're going to see him say something about the issue of a definition of sin here in chapter 14, verse 23, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, if we combine that issue with what we just read in chapter 10, talk about how faith comes from the word of God, then whatsoever is not of faith is sin, that the things that don't line up with the word of God would be considered sin. So the things that are not lining up with the word of God, rightly divided with the doctrine that we find in Romans through Philemon, those things would be considered to be sin. Now, when individuals look at that idea of sin, you know, they think about how, you know, the sin that was the transgression of the law, the penalty for that was the separation from God. Now, what Paul's defining here in Romans chapter 14 is not a separation from God. What he's defining here, there's a different issue that occurs that is related to the rewards that we would receive in the heavenly places. Let's turn over here to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, to where we're going to see Paul describe something here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. We start here verse number 10. says, according to the grace of God which is given unto me is a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So we see an issue here of the judgment seat of Christ, an individual appearing there, you know, after the catching out of the saints. This is the next event that every individual would be standing there. Every man's work shall be made manifest. So, you know, everything that we've done from our salvation forward is going to be put there, and it's going to fall into two categories. There's going to be gold, silver, and precious stones. Those are going to be the things that when we've done the right things according to the doctrine that's laid out in Romans through Philemon, we build gold, silver, and precious stones. Those will be there. And then when we've done the things that are whatsoever is not of faith of is sin, when we've gone against the things that have been laid out, then we build wood, hay, and stubble. And the wood, hay, and stubble will get burned away, and we will receive a reward based on the gold, silver, and precious stones that remain. Now, one of the things that we see here is that if an individual who's saved has nothing remaining, they still have their salvation. They're still going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ in heavenly places for all of eternity. They're just not going to receive the reward that they should have had. This is why we see the Apostle Paul being so big on this issue of making sure that they're being perfected in this way, that they're the things that might be lacking, that they're going to come in and provide for them, set way they're going to be able to hopefully continue to build the gold, silver, and precious stones, that they could get to the point of where Paul was at the end of his life when he talked about how he had fought a good fight, he had finished a course, he had kept the faith. That's what he's hoping is something that could be said for all members of the body of Christ. And that's the pattern that has been laid out in his epistles, that he's hoping that, you know, these saints in Thessalonica would follow. He's hoping that all members of the body of Christ would follow. This is why you see him in some of these practical statements of what he's saying. And we can turn over, for example, to Ephesians chapter number 4. And we see one of these statements that causes some confusion to people at times because of the wording of what he says here in Ephesians 4 verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And because so many people have taken anger as being something that is sinful that we shouldn't have, Paul doesn't say to not be angry. You know, it's okay for a person to have anger at things. What he's saying is that if you're angry, to says be angry and sin not, to not do the things that are contrary to the doctrine as a result of being angry. That, you know, and those things would fall into the category of, you know, we're told that we're supposed to have a love for all individuals. Anger at people can cause someone to not want to demonstrate that love in a certain manner. And that's where Paul's saying, you know, it's okay to be angry, but you still need to follow all of the things of the doctrine that has been laid out, making sure that you are walking according to what has actually been laid out. You see Paul over, and let's go to 1 Timothy chapter number 5. We're going to see, you know, several more times in this chapter, he's going to use this issue of sin here, talking about some things. We're going to read verse 20, then we're going to read verse 22, and then verse 24. Verse 20 of 1 Timothy 5, "Them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear." Verse 22, "Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure." Verse 24, "Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before the judgment, and some men they follow after." So even as we're reading here and he's writing to Timothy, you see how he's bringing up this issue of sin and how there's some things that could be contrary to the doctrine that's laid out. And he's saying these things so that way Timothy can make sure that he was being careful on things, making sure that he was keeping himself in that right position, keeping himself in a manner of how Paul was looking at that they needed to make sure that these saints in Thessalonica were going to stay in this exact same manner as well. And Paul, you know, writing here to Timothy, giving him these instructions, people say, well, how would somebody know exactly what it is that they're supposed to do? And we go over here and let's go to Titus chapter number 2. And we're going to see how Paul's going to lay this out to give us this information so that way there can be no confusion here. I'm going to start here at verse number 11 of Titus chapter 2. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." And Paul, as he's laying this out, gives us the very clear information about where this doctrinal information comes from. And it's from the grace of God that bringeth salvation that's appeared to all men. It's the grace of God that's going to do what we see here in verse number 12, which is the grace of God teaches us that there's certain things that we should avoid. And the grace of God that teaches us, here's the things that you should do. Now, you see many times in Paul's epistles, and you could go back, into, for example, into Ephesians chapter number 4 and see several examples in that chapter of where Paul says, you know, here's something you shouldn't do, and then gives the grace alternative of here's what you should do in those circumstances. Like, for example, he tells him, "Let him who stole steal no more." So tells a person not to steal, but instead tells the person to labor, tells them to work, so that way they would be able to give to other people who would be in need. There's a reason behind the Apostle Paul saying, here's what you're supposed to do. Paul doesn't leave things up to chance on somebody having an understanding of it. He gives the doctrine exactly for us. God does not leave us in a position of where we could be confused on what we are supposed to do. And this is what Paul was looking for these saints in Thessalonica, what we should be looking for ourselves, and how we should be trying to live our life as well. Now, next time, we'll start verse number 11 of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some charts to help you in your study of God's Word. We have audio files of our Sunday messages. We have information about how to join our Sunday service live as it's broadcast on Facebook. Information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you have any questions or comments on things in our broadcast, things in our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.